trying to speak to very exalted Vaishnavas at the end of a marathon Janmashtami Krishna Katha session, I feel like a tail-ending batsman of the Dharavi 11 playing against Australia's fast bowlers, batsmen and spinners. But for my purification and for the Lord's glorification on this auspicious day, I will try to speak something. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shishi Radha. I'm supposed to speak on developing attraction or affection for Krishna. Actually, for the last few weeks, I have been reading the 8th chapter of the first canto, the prayers of Queen Kunti Devi to Krishna. And these prayers have been sung, have been accepted and applied by greatest of Vaishnavas within their lives. So each of these verses are highly loaded with deep realizations. And they're in the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, which are like the two lotus feet of the Lord. They're non-different from the lotus feet of the Lord. And these prayers within these cantos, actually, as Hanumat Parikshak Swami Maharaj, he does always a seminar on the first two cantos, and he calls it seminar on Pada Padma. Says that these two are enough. If you are not able to somehow read the all Bhagavatam, these two are enough. Because if you can catch hold of these two feet, actually even one is enough. If we can become an insignificant dust, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Tava Pada Pankaja Sthita Dhuli Sadrisham Vichindaya. So that means, like one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is like one little dust from the lotus feet. And even if that we can apply, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, even one verse, half a verse, one line of one fourth of the verse, because Krishna is there throughout, and Anganiyasya Sakalindriya Vrittimanti, every part of his body is equally potent to perform potencies. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in one place, glories of Krishna, he says how he showed his different potencies of different parts of his body to kill different demons. And he says, this is the glory of Krishna. His fist, his thumb, his feet, Shakatasura, just touch of his lotus thumb or feet. So every part is equally potent. So even one verse, if we can just, as like Satyavrata Muni also prays, that just one particular pastime, there's one particular thing, let it always be in my heart. This is the concluding prayer, actually, almost coming to the conclusion of Maharani Kunti Devi's prayers to Lord Krishna. She says, Tvai me ananya vishaya matir madhupate asakrut ratim udvahatad adha gangai vodam udanvati. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Actually, the prayers of Queen Kunti Devi, which forms about 25 verses in this 8th chapter, shows also the dynamics of a prayer. Even while praying, if you see the heart of Queen Kunti Devi, even first thing that she expresses is just like when you come in front of a very great personality, the first thing we become aware is of our insignificance. And then we naturally tend to glorify the glory of that personality with whom in front of whom we are standing. And the resulting factor is we beg for the mercy of such a personality. Similarly, in these prayers, it's not that she planned it as we sometimes plan for Vyas Puja offering. It has been told that we have to do this, then this and this. But this is, if we analyze, this is a spontaneous thing. She feels that I am so insignificant that you have come in front of me. Then she glorifies the Lord. And then she hopes or prays for some benediction from the Lord. And while praying, she is feeling disgusted with herself. And then again prays. So it's not that we pray, but while praying, there is a dynamics going on. And suddenly we say, why did I ask this? And then you again tend to, actually we see in these beautiful prayers. I'll just briefly summarize Kunti's prayers. We already heard Gaur Gopal Prabhu speaking about the appearance of Lord Krishna. But what? It follows certain pattern. First, she says, first few prayers tell about how to see Krishna. And after that, said after seeing Krishna, how to actually surrender to Krishna. How to actually take shelter of Krishna, become completely dependent of Krishna, and finally become completely attracted and think of nothing but Krishna. Something to that effect. Of course, it's like an insignificant person standing on the shore of a vast ocean of the depth of these prayers. But that's some kind of line of thought that she is saying. First of all, we have to realize when she makes this prayer. Now, the Pandavas, all their troubled days are over. Happy days are here again. Yudhishthira Maharaj is empowered, or he is enthroned as the emperor of the whole world, planet Earth. And then, she is the queen mother. Everything is completely as could have been aspired for anyone. Everything is properly set up, all the enemies are killed, everything is properly situated. And she is the queen mother with such an obedient son or sons like the Pandavas. But even then, even though everything is perfectly under control, as she would have expected to be, still, as Krishna is leaving away, she is feeling tremendous separation. She is feeling helpless. She will feel, I'm completely dependent. What will happen if you go away? That is her consciousness. And with that consciousness, she approaches Krishna. As Krishna is onto the chariot and is about to leave, she comes and approaches Krishna. Then the first verse she says, Namasye purusham tu adyam ishwaram prakrite param. That means not that Kunti did not know who Krishna was. She knew. Namasye purusham tu adyam, govindam adi purusham. Ishwaram, you are the supreme controller of everything that be. Prakritehe param, you are absolutely transcendental. But then she says, alaksham sarvabhutanam antarbahiravasthitam. You are situated within everyone, without everyone. You are situated everywhere, but alaksham sarvabhutana, no one can see you. You are situated inside, you are situated outside, you are situated everywhere, there is no place that you are not there, but still, alaksham sarvabhutana, nobody can see you. Then she says, why people can't see? Maya javanika achannam agnya adhokshajam avyayam nalakshase moodha drisha nato natya dharo yatha. Just like an expert actor, when he comes and acts, no one recognizes who that person is. Similarly, when the Lord comes, He comes. He's there right in front of us, but we can't recognize. Why we can't recognize? She says, Maya javanika achannam. Because our eyes are now covered by the curtain of Maya. Moodha drisha. That is why Krishna also says in the Gita, avajananti mam moodha manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. When Krishna descends in a beautiful form, non-different from himself, or in any other form, through the holy name, through Srimad Bhagavatam, even through the association of devotees, different ways he may manifest. Yatra gayanti mad bhakta tatra tishthami narada. But moodha, that we are covered over by the curtain of ignorance, we can't see even though he's actually there. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, Krishna has come and performed so many superhuman activities according to the scriptures. He has set kind of the world record for any activity. For weightlifting, for expanding himself, Matsya avatar, 80,000 miles. Or Kurma avatar, long jump, you know. Not even jumping, just standing and touching. Or high jump, whatever you call it. He just lifted Govardhan, left foot. Absolutely superhuman activities which no one can ever even imagine to imitate, even in his dreams. He has done that. He has given the eternal, timeless Vedic wisdom of the Bhagavad Gita, which is appreciated, revered, and worshipped by scholars and intelligent people, philosophers, and devotees of all cross-section of people all over the world since time immemorial, at least since 5,000 years. No other book has lasted like that. This is a simple proof. Anyone can see. Bhagavad Gita, famous for such a long time. Number one. It's not that those book has become old time, nobody no more relevant now. That shows something about the speaker. So he has done superhuman activities. He has given powerful, timeless essence of Vedic scriptures on an hour's notice. Not even hour's notice, casually, offhand he just spoke. It's not that previous night he was preparing, like we do. He just offhand spoke. All the great saintly people have acknowledged Krishna as a Supreme Lord. He himself is saying, he is, in spite of all of this, why can't people understand? If we think of our own selves, before we came to Krishna consciousness, wasn't Krishna an enigma? Wasn't Krishna a difficult person to understand? What to speak of surrendering? You can't even appreciate Krishna as a Supreme Lord. Maybe a powerful personality. Maybe a mystic yogi. Very difficult. So we can't actually see Krishna. Mudhadrusha. And then she says, Tatha paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pashyema hi striyah. First qualification of how to see Krishna, she is indicating naturally. She says, Tatha paramahamsanam, only paramahamsas can see you. Muninam, powerful personalities, intellectual personalities, amalatmanam, who are purified, not any other muni, but Narada muni, Sthitadhir muni, amalatmanam, who are pure hearted. Such persons can see you 24 hours a day. But bhakti yoga vidhanartham. You can be seen only by pure devotional service. Katham pashema hi striya. I am a less intelligent, foolish woman. How can I see you? So, Prabhupada, in that purport writes, he says, sincerity of purpose is the first qualification to actually see Krishna or understand Krishna. Many of us, many of you may have noticed that probably many of you may not have had the desire also to understand Krishna. But some understanding, some desire was there. I want to know the truth. I am ready to pay the price. I want to know what it is. Some sincerity of purpose probably must have been there. So that is the first quality to actually see Krishna. And second, the simple heartedness. She thought herself very simple. I am such a simple person. How can I understand Krishna? She is seeing Krishna face to face. But she is telling, I can't see you, my Lord, because I am such a insignificant, foolish, less intelligent person. So this is the first qualification. Through her prayers we can realize, Prabhupada's purport says, sincerity of purpose and simplicity at heart actually can reveal Krishna. Because Prabhupada also writes, in the Vedic culture, it's natural for women to take up devotional service. As alone as Radhana Swami Maharaj once went to some program at Borivali or something, I was hearing the cassette the other day, he says, practically all were women there. Of course, that day there was a cricket match, finals. All the men were watching. And practically only the women were there. And then after the program and the kirtan started, they all came and started dancing. He didn't know whether it was celebrating the victory of the home team or it was ecstasy of Krishna, whatever. But they came later. So he was telling it's natural. Prabhupada also writes, it's natural. By natural faith they take it up, they bow down, they accept. So, and then she says, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Krishna also performs such sweet, intimate pastimes which is not found in any other incarnation. Anyone heard of Balya Leela of Narsingadev? Where he was, you know, wee, just and then, you know, tearing out little rats or something. Well, directly Lord Narsingadev manifested, performed powerful pastimes. That's all. Only Krishna, his Balya Leela is so famous. There are so many dance performances simply focusing on the beautiful Balya Leela of Krishna. So enchanting. In fact, Markandeya Rishi prays. He says, Kararavindena Mukharavindam Kararavindena Padaravindam Mukharavinde Vinivesayantam Vatasya Patrasya Puteshayanam Balam Mukundam Manasasmarami. Let my meditation be always be this beautiful childlike form of the Lord. Kararavindena, by his lotus hands, Padaravindam, he is holding his lotus feet. Mukharavinde, into his lotus mouth, Vinivesayantam, he is inserting it. Vatasya Patrasya Pute Shayanam, he is just lying down. Balam Mukundam Manasasmarami, let this be my meditation for eternity. But that's what truth is, everything else is going to be finished at the time of annihilation. So, that's the special mercy of the Lord, that even after appearing in Mathura, he went to Vrindavan and performed such sweet pastimes, so that somehow or other people can be attracted to hear about him. Then she says, Namo Pankaja Nabhaya, Namo Pankaja Maline, Namo Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankaja Angraye. Such beautiful form of the Lord. The form of the Lord is also so beautiful. So, in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the first qualification to see Krishna is to see him in the beautiful deity form, Archavigraha, in the temple. Today we are finding, today we are celebrating Janmashtami. Thousands of people are going to come. Thousands of people who may otherwise generally may not come to the temple, take out their time somehow or other, take so much pains to come, look for a temple and then enter and bow down before the Lord. So temple actually represents the authority of the Lord. Here the Lord resides. So sometimes I see people walking in the, and then when they come near the temple, at least they bow down from a distance, they offer their respects. What are they doing? Actually, they are acknowledging the presence of a Supreme Lord. They are acknowledging the place where he resides and they are bowing down before his authority. Yes, I am insignificant. You are great. That is the beginning. First thing is, at least they are bowing down before the authority of the Lord. And if they are, if they are fortunate enough, more, by continuously bowing down, one day they may decide to come inside and see who is there to whom I am bowing down. Actually, how does he look like? And if they continue to bow down to the authority of the Lord, one day they may listen, sit down and hear to some words about the actual glories of the Lord. So how temple is great contribution to start people, to begin people's spiritual life by coming or acknowledging the authority, by coming in and bowing down, and eventually by sitting down and hearing from devotees of the Lord about the glories of the Lord. This marks actually the beginning of people. That's why, you know, like Prabhupada's contribution, we can understand. So many people come, they hear, they see something, at least think about the Lord, do some menial service, Sukriti, by, you know, swinging him in his, so like that, some Sukriti, and then it builds up. And then, in the next three verses, she says actually what it means to see the Lord. Simply seeing the Lord. Beautiful, nice decoration. Hare Krishna. People may go away. That's one thing. But actually they have not seen. You don't come to see Krishna, but we should come to be seen by Krishna. And see, being seen by Krishna means to actually understand and surrender our lives to him. So, really to see Krishna means taking shelter of Krishna. So first is, at least you acknowledge the glory of the Lord, acknowledge the authority of the Lord, and hear about the Lord. First thing. After that, understanding the glory of the Lord, we understand we are completely helpless and we want to take shelter. Therefore, immediately Queen Kunti is telling another very beautiful prayer. She says, Yatha Hrishikesh Khalena Devaki Kamsena Ruddhati Chiram Shucharpita Vimochita Ahamcha Sahatmaja Vibho Toyaiva Nathena Muhur Vipadganat. How she is telling that I have been able to take shelter of Krishna? She says, Devaki also took shelter. Tvaya Rishikesha Khalena. Khalena means this sinful fellow, Kamsa. Devaki Ruddha Atichiram. For a long time she was imprisoned. Atichiram. Then Vimochita Aham. I also was in a similar trouble. But then, Saha Atmaja Vibho. There is a difference between Devaki being put into trouble and taking shelter of Krishna and me putting into trouble and taking shelter of Krishna. What is the difference? Devaki was put into trouble only once in her lifetime. For quite some time, of course. Till her age, after the first child was born, and till the eighth son was born. after that. But Kunti Devi says, muhur muhur vipad gana. Muhur means again and again my whole life has been nothing but troubles. And Devaki was not so fortunate. Devaki was no, she did not receive so much mercy, because all her, at least her 6 sons were killed right in front of her. But my Lord, you were more merciful to me than Devaki, because actually you protected all my sons. Not only that, she was put into trouble only once, but I was put into trouble again and again and again and again. So that way, actually, you have shown more mercy to me, more favor to me. She was put into so many dangerous conditions, but she sees that as mercy. She says, thank you, my Lord, for showing so much favor. And Prabhupada writes in that purport, he says, more favor means more danger. Very difficult to digest these purports, especially for a newcomer to Janmashtami celebrations. But, yes, greater the danger, greater the favor. Krishna shows more favor to a devotee who is in greater danger. Because the greater a person is in danger, the greater he is helpless. And the greater he is helpless, the greater he has to, you know, completely depend. And then the greater he can see Krishna's inconceivable mercy acting on him. Absolutely, there was no hope. And then at that time, so much hope came. And she enlists all the different troubles. Even Bhishma Pitama, when he was passing away, she says, you people suffered. You know, you are Dharmanandana. You are so religious. You are respecting the Brahmanas. You are respecting religion. The Lord was with you. Still you saw suffering, suffering, suffering. But more suffering than you, Kunti had to see. Because right from her early married life, she lost her husband. Devaki at least had Vasudev to support her in times of trouble, somebody to console. But she didn't have even her husband. She was all alone. And in such a kind of negative situation, everyone trying to kill her in the same household. So she says, Vishan, Mahagne, Purushara Darshanat, Asat Sabhaya, Vanavasa Kritsataha, Mrdhe, Mrdhe, Aneka Maharathastrato, Dravnyastratas Chasmaharebhi Rakshita. She enlists all the trouble that he went to. Vishan, her son was poisoned by Duryodhana. Mahagne, they were all burnt alive, tried to burn alive in the Varnavrat. Purushara Darshanat, Hidimba, etc., so many demons came and attacked to eat them up. Asat Sabhaya, then their Vadhu, the daughter-in-law, was tried to be insulted in an assembly of, supposed to be a civilized assembly. That was unfortunately the most uncivilized assembly of civilized, so-called civilized people. Asat Sabhaya, Vanavasa Kritsrataha, they went to forest for so many years. Kritsrataha, troubled life, begging and eating. Actually, if we try to put ourselves in that situation, unimaginable. Literally living in hell. Vanavasa Kritsrataha. Then, Mrdhe Mrdhe Aneka Maharathasrato, during the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So many problems. And just when everything is over, then Brahmastra is sent to kill the only child living in the womb. All her sons of Draupadi are killed. Simply trouble. What they have seen is only trouble in their life. But the perception of Kunti, because of her humility and because of her actual perception, is proved by the next prayer. She says, Vipadah santuta shashvat tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yatsyad apunar bhava darshanam. Nobody can dare, after having gone through that, to pray like this. She says, Vipadah santuta, again and again, give me more and more troubles, my Lord. Tatra tatra jagadguru. Because at that time, when trouble comes, bhavato darshanam, we are so helpless, absolutely nothing, we're nowhere to turn to. At that time, we see your mercy directly coming. As I think Gaur Gopal Prabhu was telling in the class, that everything is a mercy. Every moment we are dependent, every breath, every word we speak, we are dependent on the Lord. But somehow we can't see the mercy of the Lord. Every moment of survival is based on absolutely on the mercy. So, bhavato darshanam yachyad apunar bhava darshanam. So, in that sense, what is a calamity? She says that that calamity is good because under that calamity, I realize my true helplessness and I realize my complete dependence on you for our survival. That's the illusion. The whole illusion is we think that we can be independent of the mercy of the Lord any moment. So a person who sees the mercy of the Lord at every moment can actually never be not Krishna conscious. Because he sees for every second, I'm absolutely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. What is the manifestation? What is the external manifestation of this realization in the heart of a devotee? First thing is, they suffer unavoidable misfortune without being unduly disturbed. This is the first sign of a person who is seeing Krishna, beginning to see Krishna in different situations, that suffer unavoidable misfortune. Unavoidable means you tried your best, still some misfortune has come. See it as Krishna's mercy. In Alcoholic Anonymous, they have a very good, beautiful statement. It says, God, give me the strength to change the things I can, and give me the strength to tolerate the things I can't change. And then it says, give me the intelligence to discriminate between the two. Give me the strength to change the things I can. You can't say, you know, it's not, doesn't mean that, you know, like a parasite, you just depend, you know, Krishna will do that. No. We do our best. So, just give me the strength to change the things I can. Try my best to change. And give me the strength to tolerate the things I can't. You can't change certain things. You have received a particular kind of body. You have received a particular kind of relations. You have received a particular kind of situation. You can try your best to change. But beyond that, simply suffer the unavoidable misfortune without being unduly disturbed. And make progress in spiritual realization, because that is the mission of human life. We should not become so overwhelmed by these miseries that our main business of the process of surrendering to the Lord should stop. And know that all calamities in life are actually dreams. In the sense, they're going to be temporary. Just like in dreams, sometimes, suppose a dog is chasing you. Sometimes people get these dreams. Often others have also confirmed. Just like there is a gate at a long distance and you are about to reach the gate and then the dog is chasing you. It's just coming closer. You're closer to the gate and then it's just jump like this. And just were about to open the gate and the dog is at you, and then you wake up. And actually you're sweating. The whole body is sweating. It was all dream, but the reaction was real. You're actually sweating. So similarly, the miseries are there, but the world itself is temporary. So, we understand we have to do the needful. But this is the beginning. That's why Krishna also says, the second verse of instruction to Krishna, to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. After saying, you are not the body, dehi no smin yatha dehe, he says, matra sparshastu kaunteya, shita ushna, sukha dukkhada, agam apa ino anityaha, tam stiriksha subharat. Just learn to tolerate, they'll come and they'll go. And what is the result of this tolerance? Yam hinav yatha yantiyate purusham purushar shabha, sama dukkha sukham dhiram, sah amrutatvaya kalpate. Such a person is fit to become liberated. So then she says, yes. And now she says, what is stopping us from not taking shelter of Krishna? What is the disqualification for not being able to take shelter, not able to see Krishna even in those circumstances and not taking shelter? She says, there are four disqualifications. Janma Ishwarya Shuta Sribhir Edamana Madah Puman Na Eva Arahati Abhidhatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gochara. Na Eva Arahati. Arahati means qualification. Na Eva Arahati. Qualification for what? Abhidhatum Vai. Abhidhatum means to feelingly call for Krishna. When can we feelingly call for Krishna? When we know that there is no one else who can help us at this situation. But people are so proud, I don't need to call for Krishna, I can manage on my own. I have my high birth, I have my intelligence, I have my wealth, I have my such an attractive ability that I can attract everyone. These lead to the false pride that I can manage, that actually gives a feeling of being Krishna. Because any of these four things will attract people. And the more we attract people, the only person who can attract people is Krishna. Yadyad vibhutimat sattvam shrimad urjitam evava tatta devavagachatvam mamati. Whatever glorious, attractive, opulent things that you can see, know it to be by be my insignificant, tiny splendor. So if one can do something or be something, do something, act something which is very attractive to people, then one must know that that is actually empowerment of Krishna. But if that person starts because of illusion, because of foolishness, thinking that it's my ability, immediately such a person becomes proud. And when a person is proud, he can't become helpless. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Namna makari bahudha nija sarva shaktis tatrarpita nimita smredina kalaha itadrishi tavakrupa bhagavan mamapi durdaivam idrisham iha jani na anuraga. I can't call feelingly. There's so much mercy, but because it's accessible, holy name is accessible by anyone, but that feeling, desperation, that helplessness, that intensity, severity of understanding our situation as being truly helpless under all circumstances doesn't come so easily. And therefore, that is a big problem. And then, immediately in that same verse, she also says, what is the qualification to see Krishna? Tvam akinchana gochara. Kinchana means kinchit, something. But akinchana means one who is absolutely materially impoverished. Absolutely materially impoverished. Beggar. It's like our Bhakti Tirth Maharaj writes this books. Beggar. A beggar will attract attention by his intensity. If he is completely satisfied, then he won't beg intensely. And if he doesn't beg intensely, not everyone looks at him. Some extraordinarily compassionate fellow may look for beggars. But generally people don't. Unless that person comes and catches attention and really, you know, some way he shows his helplessness. I'm absolutely helpless. My hand is cut, my leg is cut. You know, nothing. I can't work. I'm completely dependent on what, if you throw a few paisa, only that will help me. We also are generally moved when we see beggars. If he is a very hatta-katta fellow and he say, hey, why don't you go and work? But when we see a fellow, his hands are not there, only trunk. And he's lying, you know, one little white cloth, and he's lying in the center of the railway station. And no hands, no legs. I mean, can you imagine being without hands and legs? To turn over, you need somebody's help. To eat, you need help. Absolutely, you can't eat. Somebody has to put it in your mouth. So helpless. Then we are moved. Yeah. Chalo, something will give. So that person knows, actually somebody has to help me, otherwise I am useless. So, akinchana means one who knows that under all circumstances, if Krishna doesn't show me mercy, I am finished. My survival is dependent every moment of my life on the mercy of the Lord, in whatever way it comes. That actually attracts the mercy of Krishna. So, how is it materially impoverished does not simply mean that a person throws everything in the chaupati and then comes and says, I'm... It's a state of consciousness also. And that state of consciousness is that person will never become proud. Yudhishthir Maharaj, great personalities, emperor of the whole planet Earth, were akinchana devotees of the Lord. Because they actually knew, just like Kunti Maharani, she's praying. I have everything, but if you go away, if you walk away from our life, O Krishna, we will be back to square one. We will be finished. During all these miseries, it's you who protected. It's not Bhima's strength of his hands. It's not Arjuna's strength of bow thing. It's not anything else. It is simply your mercy. She understands. And therefore she is dependent. And because she is dependent, the mercy comes. So the more we understand our dependence on the Lord, by hearing how Krishna is the only maintainer. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, in 5-6 verses in the 15th chapter, Krishna says, I am the light of the sun. If the sun were not there, we'll be finished. I enter the earth and maintain the earth. We are standing on the earth and shouting our glories. But the earth is standing because, you know, Gama Avishya, Krishna has entered and holding us. And you stand on somebody like that and then you shout, you know, I am the controller of the whole universe. He, through the moonshine, supplies vegetables. You can't eat nuts and bolts. And after you eat it, you have to digest. Aham Vaishwanaro Bhutva. He helps you to digest. So if you're able to do something, it's actually by the mercy of the Lord. She's aware of this fact. Therefore, she can see Krishna. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always glorify Krishna. Thank you for allowing me to do this today. So this is the first kind of important point that is so beautifully brought. And therefore she says, Namo akinchana vittaya. You are the wealth of the impoverished. Actually, what is the pure devotee? He knows he has nothing. Because he feels that he has nothing, Krishna becomes his property. So many times Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say to Kolavecha Sridhar, to so many of his pure devotees, he says, I am completely your property. You can sell me wherever you want. What does that mean? Sell me means Krishna becomes a sold out slave of such a devotee. Because he knows no one but Krishna. Krishna knows no one but him. And therefore whatever they say, because they can offer Krishna. Because they have Krishna. Because they have materially, they have nothing materially, they receive. What is that? Negative attracts the positive. This is a very nice example of magnet. Positive and positive repel. Negative and positive. And the more negative, more powerfully charged negative and more powerfully charged positive, super attraction. So the more humble we are, and Krishna is supremely positive, no one can be more. Asamurdhva, no one is equal to him, is positive with full qualities, and we have no qualities. To the extent we feel like that, Krishna's mercy comes. And you possess Krishna. That is why the acharyas pray, Krishna se tumar, Krishna dite paro, tumar shakati ache. And if such a devotee says, Krishna, please give mercy to this fellow, please. Krishna can't say no. Has to give. Even though that fellow is a rascal, is useless. Still, if Krishna says, the devotee says. That is why one time, the Western disciples asked Srila Prabhupada in the beginning years, he says, Swamiji, what did we do? What some good qualities we had to receive this causeless mercy? Prabhupada said, you had nothing. I made your qualification. Humbly he was saying the principle of Krishna consciousness. That such a person can deliver Krishna because he feels he has nothing. Because he feels he has nothing, whatever he has is Krishna. And therefore he can give that mercy. Then, in the next few verses, Kunti Maharani says, as we have already discussed, I'll cut it short. In the next five prayers, as Gaur Gopal Prabhu very nicely brought it out about the appearance, Janma Karma Cha Vishvatman. Actually, Krishna says in the Gita, if you realize five words, you will go back to Godhead. Five words you have to realize. Mark my words. Only five words you have to realize. Janma, karma, cha, me, divyam. Evam yoveti tattvatah. If you know this in essence, tyaktva deham punar janmaneti mamet. You have to know only five words. Not even 16 word mahamantra. It's five words. Janma, karma, cha, me, divyam. Then somebody may say, oh, that's all right. I know. Janma, karma, cha, me, divyam. Which means, actually we have not understood. We may be reciting like a parrot, but we have not understood. Now what does understand? Why can't we understand? That the next three verses, Kunti Devi says, why it is difficult for people, general people, to understand the nature, the transcendental nature of the birth and appearance of the Lord. First one she says, is there are so much contradiction. First thing is, Naveda kaschit bhagavam chikirshitam tava ihamanasya. Ihamanasya means ordinary activities. Seemingly ordinary activities. Krishna also gets up in the morning. Krishna also plays around. Krishna does so many things. Very seemingly like a natural person. I mean ordinary person. So first thing is, many of his activities are very ordinary. Why does Krishna do that ordinary thing? He steals, he cries, he sometimes seems to get bewildered. And vidambanam. Very bewildering because there are some contradictions. And what is that? He shows partiality. He says he is impartial, but he shows partiality. Always he sides with devatas and kills the demons. And he says, samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshosti na priya. He dares declare for all time to come that I am absolutely equal to everyone. I envy no one. Nobody is dear to me. But always I take side of the demons. I mean, take side of the demigods and kill the demons. Why does Krishna do that? Why Krishna, such a nice Karna, poor fellow? So many people feel like that, right? Govind Prabhu gave a very nice article in BTG about one fellow, one writer who has written about Karna, Mrityunjay, that thing. absolutely bewildering. Such a man is bewildered. Why Krishna, like a politician, acted like that? So many people, so many blasphemies they make. They can't understand Krishna. Vidambanam. Vidambanam means very, very bewildering. He seems to be partial. He plans to kill someone when they are helpless. And then he says, I am equal to everyone. Absolutely equal. This is Vidambanam. And then she says, Janma karmacha Vishwatman, Ajasya Akarturatmanah. We already discussed. He's Ajasya. He doesn't born. He's not born, but we celebrate his birthday every year. We are celebrating today the birthday of the unborn. No, then what are you celebrating birthday? Whose birthday? This person is unborn. He never takes birth. Then what are you doing? Celebrating birthday. I mean, for us, we may laugh. But for someone, he says, kuch theek hai? You know, something is. They can't understand this. Akartur. Actually, he doesn't do anything. Natasya karyam karadam vich. He doesn't have to do. He is sitting at one place doing nothing. But not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. Everything is moving under him. This is bewildering thing for them. Some problem is happening. He says, no, he is not the doer. You know, we are responsible. They say, not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. Very bewildering. Then, Tiryag, Nri, Rishishu, Yadashu, Tad Atyanta Vidambana. This is too much. You don't take birth, but you take birth in practically all species. You come as a fish. I mean, God as a fish is too much for some people to understand. I was telling the other day, one Buddhist fellow, when we were doing this interfaith preaching, one Buddhist fellow came to our temple and he met a very neophyte brahmachari. I would say neophyte because I'll tell you the reason, what he preached first time. It was downstairs, we had the ashram and there was this table and he was sitting on the bunker and on the table there was a big picture of Lord Narsingadev. So this man asked, who is this? He said, he's our God. God? Your God? I mean, he didn't say who. He says, what is this? He asked, what is this? He couldn't understand whether it is what it is. He says, this is our God. He says, God? He has the face of a lion and the body of a human being. And he has 10 hands and, you know. It's very difficult for him. First of all, the first look of bewilderment. Stage 1. Stage 2. What is your God doing? No, he's actually tearing the intestine of someone and putting the intestine around his neck. And he is a Buddhist. Non-violence is the goal of his life. And to add to that, he said, he's actually none other than Buddha. Keshava Dhrita Buddha Sharira. And to put the icing on the cake, he said, who is this other person standing next? He said, this is the fellow whose intestine is torn out, his son. But what is he holding in his hand? He's holding a garland. For whom? For the person who is murdering, you know, his father. He was never seen again in our ashram. No, for us who know the science of Krishna, by the more we hear, the more we get attracted to the inconceivable power, the potency. But to person who don't know Krishna, who haven't heard, it's very bewildering. They can't understand. It's like something hot or something big stuck in their throat. They can't spit it out. Because somehow they are attracted to Krishna. Why you people always Krishna, Krishna, only Krishna? There are so many, you know. There's a whole supermarket of gods in Hinduism. Why you are always after Krishna? But then, it's stuck. It can't go inside because it is bewildering. They can't spit it out because, you know, this fellow is too attractive. Too attractive in the sense, why so many people are attracted to him? They can't understand this fact. So she's saying, why exactly is bewildering? Because as long as we try to fit Krishna into our brain, this 450 gram of gray matter, it doesn't fit, you know, something doesn't fit. So extra something comes out. And that, you have to take it out. But if you take it out, you don't get a full picture of Krishna. If you put it, it doesn't enter. That is the contradiction. Then, and the last part she says, you are the supreme controller of all controllers, but you are completely controlled by the stick of an insignificant cowherd woman. Gopya dade tvai krita gasi dama tavat. Yate dasha ashru kalila anjana sambhramaksham. Vaktram niniya bhayabhavanaya sthitasya samam vimohayati. Samam vimohayati. Kunti Devi says, even I get bewildered. Are you really? Even Brahma got bewildered, our founder Acharya. Krishna at least put him in such a situation to show us, your original founder Acharya got bewildered. Don't think you cannot be bewildered. That was, of course, personally arrangement of Krishna to tell us, to teach us, and for Lord Brahma to actually express or exhibit the true glory of Krishna. Enhance, embellish his pastimes. So the point is, even they could not understand. She says, Samam vimohayati. Bhirapiyat bibheti. Fear personified is afraid of you, my Lord, but you are actually afraid. It's not that Krishna was acting. He was actually scared. He was telling Krishna. He was telling Mother Yashoda, please, please, please. There is that Satyavrata Muni's prayer. Of Trirekhanka Kantha. What is the first beginning of that verse? Rudantam muhurnetram yugmam rajantam karambhojas yugmena sa atanka netram. Atanka netram. Where Radha Govinda Maharaja was one day giving lecture on this. In Vrindavan he was giving this. Damodarashtakam pastimes. So he was giving on this particular thing. He says, a person, his emotions cannot be hidden because his emotions can be easily detected from his eyes. The eyes are the most revealing part of a person's emotion. If somebody is fearful, just by looking at his face, you can say this fellow is fearful. Somebody is happy simply by looking at him. Somebody is come to cheat you simply by looking at his face. Emotionless guy. That is why cheaters first put big goggles. So that nobody can know what is his feeling. So first thing is his eyes. And sa atanka netram. Krishna was so fearful, tears were gliding down. And he was actually vaktram niniya. Niniya means his head is bent down. And he's looking up and he's telling, please, please, don't beat me. He says, this sight is too bewildering for me. That you are the supreme controller. Everyone is scared of you and you are scared of this little stick of this lady. So in this way, she actually brings out the bewilderment for people who cannot understand. Though it is very simple that you have to simply understand that the Krishna's birth and activities are transcendental. But they can't understand why. After saying so many reasons, she concludes that particular section by saying, Shridvanti gayanti grananti abhikshnashah smaranti nandanti tavehitam jana ta eva pashyanti achirena tavakam padambujam. Who can see your lotus feet and hold on to it? He said, only that person who has Shrinvanti. You have to hear the first thing of the process of devotional service is to hear. Hear from the right source with a right consciousness. Right source in parampara and right consciousness with a humble heart, with eagerness and with sincerity to actually adopt that lifestyle to the best of our ability in our life. Such a person, Gayanti, having heard, he will naturally start glorifying the Lord. And Grinanti, and having understood, he will accept these truths. And Smaranti, always remember naturally because of his attractive pastimes. And Nandanti, take pleasure in others doing so. That means, until and unless we start preaching and give others the process of Krishna consciousness and take enjoyment in spreading this message and others taking up and advancing, till that extent, the feet of the Lord will remain invisible. You can't take shelter. So, not only should we hear, sing, accept and adopt, but also take pleasure in sharing it with others. So that is the secret of understanding the birth and activities of Krishna. And in the third section, when you understand Krishna, when you see the lotus feet of the Lord by hearing from the right source, then what happens? He says, Parayanam, we become completely dependent. We realize, not intellectually, but actually realize our dependence on the Lord at all circumstances. And Prabhupada writes beautifully in the purport, the material disease is due to thinking of becoming independent of everything. But cruel material nature does not allow us. The false attempt to become independent of the stringent laws of nature is known as material advancement of experimental knowledge. Jadavidya jata mayara vaibhava. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jadavidya or material knowledge, it makes us so proud. We can break the atom. We can tap material energy to serve our purposes. Because of technological advancement, We are able to manipulate material nature for some time, to some extent, to some degree. We become so proud, we start feeling Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti Suyate. But under my superintendence, the whole material nature is working. You start feeling like that. Because you can manipulate. Because we are para prakriti. We are slightly above. We have some power to manipulate nature. And through that manipulation, there is a tendency to feel independent. And bigger the materialist, stronger the propensity to become Krishna-like. And stronger the propensity to become independent. And stronger the propensity to become independent, the less you feel dependent on Krishna. And the less you feel dependent, the farther away Krishna is. You can't see, even though he is nearest of all. So the highest goal of achievement of perfect civilization is to work hard under the guidance of Lord and at the same time depend completely on Lord. Pandavas, just the practical example. The Pandavas, though qualified by personal character and physical activities, their character was perfect, they had all good qualities, they had abilities, everything. But they were not idle parasites. Depending on Krishna doesn't mean becoming idle parasites. They were working hard, but still dependent on the mercy of the Lord under all circumstances. Knowing that without His sanction, even though I do everything, we've seen Prabhupada's, he was endeavoring hard, practically like no one else, to establish some preaching. But at the same time, in 1 second things went away, absolutely unconcerned. Theek hai, Krishna doesn't want it probably. That is the plan of the Lord. The plan of the Lord is inconceivable. We do our best and leave the rest to Krishna. This is the meaning of dependence. We do our best, then leave the rest to Krishna. Whatever happens for the result. This was his feeling. That is why Prabhupada was empowered to preach. If you see, when he went to on the prayers to on Jaladuta, he felt absolutely helpless. We have so many plans. We may try to execute those plans, but for the result, we are absolutely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. And that was his only qualification. I don't know, my Lord, why you have brought me into this strange place, but I know you must have some purpose. That's why you have brought me. Now you make me dance. However you want, you make me dance. He was completely dependent on the mercy. And therefore, Krishna, through him, did such powerful preaching. Then she says in so many ways, my Lord, because your lotus feet has been imprinted on the soil of all this, our kingdom, therefore all the prosperity is there. Not that we had some nice 5-year planning system and we are doing this kind of agriculture and therefore things are happening. No. It is because your lotus feet has been imprinted on the soil of this place. Because your glance mercifully has been responsible for our sustenance, for all prosperity. It is a fact that it is only Krishna's glance which nourishes everything. Of course, one time Hiranyakashipu became so powerful, wherever he glanced, things would happen. If he glanced at Mother Earth, she had to give crops even without rains. Glance was so powerful because he had that control. But how long? To some extent we are able to do something, we become so proud. But eventually, Prabhupada analyzes, human prosperity flourishes not by gigantic industrial enterprise, but by natural gifts. He says, and these natural gifts, we eat rice, we eat dal, we eat sabji. Do we get it from factories? You put all nuts and bolts and all products, and from there comes ginger, from there comes radish, 2 kilo beetroot. You put all the dustbin, all plastic, you put inside. From other side comes all beautiful grains. So it's actually dependent on earth. It's dependent on sun. It's dependent on rain. Which one of that have we created? So, it is supplied by the order of the Supreme Lord as He desires. It's a natural law. Humans should take advantage of godly gifts and flourish and use the other time for achieving the goal of life. Prabhupada writes, grains, fruits, vegetables and herbs, they are arising from fields. River fertilizes the field. Hills provide minerals. Ocean provides jewels. And cows provide nice milk. No need of slaughterhouse for our food. Actually, if we analyze, even before all this came, things were still going on. People were eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Everything was happening. Even before all this technological advancement came about. But only one difference is there. People were much more happier before. That's the only difference. Why? Because they were actually more dependent on the Lord while endeavoring just whatever is necessary and using the rest of the time for developing Krishna consciousness. And today's, it's amazing, the phrases that Prabhupada uses to describe today's civilization. He says, these are products, that means gigantic industrial enterprises on which we are feel that we are dependent. He says these are products of a godless civilization. The more these things are there, the more people become godless, because they feel that they are the gods, they can control. They cause destruction of the noble aim of human life. we see today, the noble aim of human life, self-realization, practically no one is aware, no one has inclination, no one has desire for it. They squeeze the vital energy of human being. Literally, just to make the two ends meet and have your regular food, how much it squeezes out, literally squeezes out the human being's vital energy, which is meant for self-realization. Just to go to the working place, work, come back and maintain a setup. Literally the whole energy, we have no time for anything else. Truly, actually one person asked me, Prabhuji, I can't chant 16 rounds, you know, it's sitting at one place, early morning, it's not possible. And I said, no, you give me a schedule. After seeing a schedule, mentally I prostrated obeisances, took the dust from his feet and put on my head. I said, still you're chanting 16 rounds, Hari Bol, no problem, just continue this. And if possible, try to, you know, adjust things. Literally so difficult. 18 hours goes. And then to maintain everything and then somehow helpless. People are helpless. Because that's the situation of while I was after Kolhapur this side, I was just coming morning. This people, such a beautiful green area, fields and all that. People are just, you know, few hours a day they work and they're happy. So silent, peaceful, nice area, very sattvic. But we become restless if we go there. Can't, you know, every time you look at a watch. Why time is not... so busy, running around, suddenly a person is fast running around, you hold him, you know. He can't. Very difficult for him to sit at one place and do nothing. Unrest and dissatisfaction of people in general. That leads to unrest and dissatisfaction. Only few live lavishly by exploitation due to being captivated by the exploitative motive of lording it over material nature. So in this way, she says, how trying to become independent of the Lord is the root cause of pushing God so away from our life that we actually, he becomes out of focus. He's actually become out of focus. Sometimes camera is right in front, but if the camera is out of focus, you can't understand who is that. Whether it's an object or whether it is a person or whether it is a male or female, you can't understand if the person is out of focus. And she concludes by saying how to become focused. How to focus our affection on Krishna. And this part of the prayer, what I originally wanted to focus on. These two prayers. She says, O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. Can you imagine? Krishna is standing in front, ready to give you any benediction, is actually pleased, and you are asking for this. Cut away all my affection. Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnishu. My deep affection for the Pandus and the Vrishnis, you please cut off. And Prabhupada explains why she's praying like this. She's praying, don't go away, stay here. Because of you only we are getting this mercy. Protect my children, protect us. We are absolutely dependent on you. We are at the completely at the mercy of you. After praying like this, actually Kunti is praying. She's feeling, such a selfish person I am. Prabhupada writes in the purport, a pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord. He doesn't want to ask anything of self-interest. But the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. Make my father Krishna conscious. Make my daughter Krishna conscious. Make my wife Krishna conscious. out of affection. It's there, some affection is there. It's there, of course, in pure devotees also, Prahlad Maharaj said. And my father, whatever he was. That is natural. But there is one difference here. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and therefore she prayed the Lord to cut off the affectionate tie from her own kinsman. What was the contradiction that she saw? Prabhupada writes, Pandavas means my sons. She was asking Krishna, who was about to leave for Dwarka from Hastinapur, no, don't go away. We are absolutely dependent on you. You are our life and soul. Please stay with us. But then she was thinking, my father's home, from a paternal side, they are also devotees in the Dwarka. They are also praying sincerely. They are also absolutely dependent on the Lord. And Lord has been away from them for such a long time. And I'm so selfish. I'm asking you stay here only, don't go there. So, as she was praying to Krishna to protect her children, stay here only, she could understand the selfishness. The partiality that she was saying, stay only with my sons. Don't go to Dwarka. Because then she'll realize, no, Vrishni is my paternal side also, they are also dependent devotees of the Lord. How much they must be suffering. If I, Krishna is going away, I am suffering. How much they must be suffering. Understanding that situation, she felt this partiality in her, which arose due to duality, which arose to the bodily conception of life. Janasya mohoyam aham mama. My children, my family you protect. Let others think, I don't care, but you pray here only. So she realized that. And therefore, she was a little disgusted. What kind of prayer I am making, depriving my father's side of the mercy. Therefore, she cut off this duality which causes partiality. And Prabhupada writes a very important thing that must be learned. He says, a pure devotee cuts off limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Though he had a wonderful mother, though he had a very sweet, loving, faithful, chaste wife, for the benefit of the forgotten, Tyaktva Sudusche Surepsita Rajya Lakshmim Dharmishta Arya Vachasa Yadagadaranyam Maya Mrigam Daita Epsita Anvadhavat Vande Maha Purushate Charanaravindam. For a higher family, he left the... For a bigger family, he left a smaller family. That is advancement. For a smaller family, if you leave a bigger family, that is degradation. Sometimes people leave one family to be with one's own, smaller family. But that's leaving off the duties, responsibilities. But leaving the lower, smaller family for a bigger family, or somebody leaves their family for fighting for the country, and we say, Shaheed, you worship them. They left a smaller family for a bigger family. But the biggest family, of course, is Krishna's family. Literally also. So, Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam. And therefore, for serving Krishna's family, if someone leaves, that's glorious. So, she understands that, and therefore she's praying. And Prabhupada writes, to cut off all family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Without doing this, no one can be qualified as a brahmana, a king, a public leader, or a devotee of the Lord. So if we call ourselves a brahmana, nobody is a king nowadays, rarely. King also generally for namesake. Or an administrative head, a public leader, or a devotee of the Lord. That means they have to broaden the field of their activities, not be narrowed down. And that's what it actually means to cut off. Because as long as we don't cut off, that acts as a big barrier to move towards Krishna and develop affection. as long as that affection is shared by so many, that becomes a problem. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, it's like the marriage party who were going in a boat, but the anchor was stuck. So he's just going round and round and round. Only when the anchor was removed, the boat could move to the other shore. So, actually, putting our affection towards Krishna means taking away affection from the limited family. Now, what does that mean actually? Does it mean that everyone leaves home? What it means is, Prabhupada explains, that I would like to read the exact word or the sentence. Yeah. This relations of the soul, this tie of affection in terms of material relation is relation of Maya, because the relation of the body or the mind are due to influence of the external energy. So if that relation is based on the body and mind, mind means I am Maharashtrian, I am Indian. Say imaginary mental border, or some fence may be there actually. But we have created that, and therefore we identify with a particular piece of land or a particular area. But when Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the family relation, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the via medium of the relation with the super soul. That's what actually means to make one's home a temple. It's like in the temple, people are living together from various families, various backgrounds. Because this is Krishna's family, irrespective of what people's background are, we are all together. As long as everyone's center is Krishna, then we are family members. If that is the center, then that is not material. It's not based on skin. It's not based on mental concoction. If it is based on Krishna being the center, and that is the first step, then where to focus that affection? And then she concludes this section of her prayers by saying, Tvai me ananya vishaya. Ananya means, let my, just like Mother Ganga flows without obstruction towards the sea, till she joins the sea, she never stops. Similarly, let all my affection flow towards the service of Krishna. That should be the ultimate aspiration of a devotee. And Prabhupada writes, sometimes she was helpless. She knew she had. Therefore, she was praying. And Prabhupada writes, sometimes if you are very helpless, you can't cut it off. And if you pray to Krishna, then Krishna takes up the job. And Krishna does it. But don't expect him to do it the way you want, exactly the time, to the extent, exactly to this particular design. No. Prabhupada says in that purport, actually he is speaking about himself. He said, I had the desire on one hand to preach on my Guru Maharaj's order. On one hand, I could see I am insignificant. I am not an insignificant person. How can I do it? Big people couldn't achieve it. But he was helpless. So he was just praying. And Krishna arranged it for him. And actually pulled him out. And put him in such a situation that he actually could do. So, if we can, on this day, if we can pray that somehow, whatever stage we are, seeing Krishna, taking shelter of Krishna, understanding Krishna, depending on Krishna, or putting our affection to Krishna, whichever stage of development we are, but somehow if we can continue to get attracted to Krishna and make Krishna the center of our thoughts, words, activities, life, family, etc., then that would be, at least we know for sure that we are moving towards the ultimate perfection of life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sorry for extended time.